Hi, this is Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth on Power of Attorney Radio, brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area with clients across the country. If you'd like to know more about Odin Feldman and Pittleman, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com. Also, if you'd like to subscribe to my podcasts or video or articles on tax, estate planning, and business planning topics of interest, please go to blueprintforwealth.org, where you'll find a plethora of content that may be of interest to you, and I hope that you stay a subscriber so that we can keep in touch and provide you with updates on tax, estate planning, and business planning topics of interest. Today with me is my very, very special guest, John Buck Chapadon, who is a senior advisor in the Washington, D.C. office of Brown Advisory and is the former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury for Tax Policy under President Reagan. In the first segment of our podcast, we discussed tax reform, both past, present, and future. And so if you're interested in hearing a little bit more about that, tune into that podcast. Today, we're going to be focusing on Buck's transition out of the law into wealth management. How did you get involved in the wealth management side of things after being a lawyer for all these years? And what led you to do it?
I've asked that question a lot. I was with Vinson and Elkins. I had run the Washington office for a long time. I reached an age, I think it was age either 29 or 39, I can't think which, and I had to step aside. No, I'm kidding, it's a little older than that. and I had to step aside as any management position in the firm. And so I decided I was going to do something else, and I was started looking around, and I met, I didn't know many people at Brown Advisory, but they had been thinking about opening a Washington office for a while, and we talked over the year 2000. And we opened the office here, small office then. The firm was a lot smaller then. The firm had about 80 employees and had about $4 billion in client assets under management.
You know, it's interesting. Somebody with your pedigree and your background, you probably could have gone to work for any of the big bulge bracket investment advisory firms. You could have had your choice of opportunities. What made you choose Brown Advisory? Because I know that you're well sought after in the because of your background. Why did you end up selecting that?
Well, I'm not sure there were that many people knocking the door down.
Come on.
I was really
come
thinking.
On. Don't be the humble person that you are.
I actually was sort of looking at a .com, situation. Maybe going on some boards of .coms.
Uh-huh.
Sort of glad I didn't do
I'm
that.
I'm glad you didn't do that too.
But the only reason I thought about wealth management is I did know particularly one fellow, Truman Siemens, with our firm, who's now in his mid-80s, wonderful person, and he started talking to me about it. And I came up, met people in the firm. The cultural fit was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I like the people a lot, as I still do. It is just a wonderful, wonderful organization, and we paid attention to our knitting, and we have a, by the way, it wasn't as strange, we had a class of professionals we call strategic advisors, but all of them have been tax lawyers, virtually all of them have been tax lawyers with most of them with big firms before they joined Brown Advisory, so it wasn't that unusual. We do tax planning for clients, and we get involved, and certainly on the investment side, on asset allocation issues, working in a team, which is the portfolio manager, the strategic advisor, and an administrator who handles the client's affairs. So it's a very important part of what we do for clients.
So Brown Advisory today is a much bigger firm. How big is the firm today?
You know, when I joined it, I love telling this story. It was $4 billion in client assets. Now we are $50 billion in client assets.
$50 billion?
$50 billion, yeah.
And how is that broken down between institutional clients and individual clients? How would you?
You know, it's about 60-40 now, institution and high net worth individuals. Originally, we were almost primarily high net worth, but over the last 4 or 5 years, we've moved a lot in the institutional area.
So the firm has grown, it's thriving, it's doing well. What distinguishes Brown Advisory from other firms that do investment advisory work and wealth management? How would you?
You know, we ask ourselves that a lot. I'd say internally, it is the culture we developed here that we do no other business. We are never going to be on the other side of a table with a client. We want complete openness, transparency, particularly on fees, which is not too easy to achieve in the investment business.
Market,
we insist that our clients know. We never want to be in the position of selling anything to the client. And if we make a mistake of any kind, we correct it. We immediately admit it, and we take, if there's a financial issue involved, we correct it to the client's favor. And that is just our culture. We talk about it every day, and we live it every day. Same factor that we're a happy place to work. All employees own stock in the company. We have this incredible longevity of people. We almost never lose a professional person, whether it's an investment advisor or portfolio manager on the portfolio side or on the strategic advisory side. So just a happy place to work. We have our, and the final thing, and the one thing we always say is we are totally client-centric. We really, really, really want to take care of the client. And it just pays off. If you live it and do it, we hope that's what's doing it, but I think it is.
Who's the ideal client, if you're an individual, who's the ideal client for Brown Advisory?
We have clients up and down across the board, individuals and families. Our sweet spot is more of the family and often multi-generational families. But we get very close to individuals or families. We, if they want us to, we know a lot about what they do. We work with their, we can't practice law, we don't do accounting, but we help them find professionals, tax professionals, estate planning professionals, and we work closely with their professionals.
So you indicated that the strategic advisors, including you, many of them, do tax planning, which is really unusual. I know that there are many big firms that have tax lawyers working for them, and I've met with them. I've been to New York and met with some of the big bulge bracket firms. Mm-hmm. And then there are other wealth advisors that have sort of consulting relationships with a tax guy or a tax gal, and they may come in and help do the planning. You all are full-time on staff with Brown Advisory. How do you work with the clients and with the investment advisors to achieve the best result for the client? And what types of tax planning do you get involved in?
We get in, a large part of it is estate planning, but income tax planning, as I point out, the difference I notice in my practice for individuals and this, we can be much more proactive. We see all the assets. Mm-hmm. We can see the built-in gains, for example. We can know the family involved. So we say, look, you ought to think about making some gifts here, or you ought to do some tax planning. Mm-hmm. And in an ideal situation, we say we'd like to talk to your tax lawyer about it. Well, if you're going to change your will, you're going to have to get involved, or your tax accountant. And so we are proactive in it. It really works. And a lot of times we won't do anything, but we want to make sure we're looking at it.
How often do you sit down with a client and review their situation?
Well, normally four times a year, quarterly.
Which mm-hmm. I think is essential. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you work in teams with the CPAs and the lawyers is really valuable.
Yeah, that really is. It's so convenient for the client, too. I mean, you don't have to worry about, estimated tax payment thing. We give the information directly, if they want us to the accountant.
So the advisors.
I tell you, we can really simplify their lives. They can put all of their information on the even unmanaged assets on their statement, so they can see what they have. When I practiced law, I had an investment here and an investment there, and it's very confusing. What really helps to simplify your life, it makes you make smarter decisions.
Especially if you have it all at one place.
All at one place.
Under one umbrella.
Even if we don't manage it all, and a lot of clients we don't manage it all, but we show it all.
I see. So you have a way of demonstrating the investments that they may have in other private equity deals.
Private equity deals, but other active managers.
Or other active, management. So
and
that they can see the big picture.
They can see the big picture.
I think that's valuable. Mm-hmm.
And including real estate. You'd be surprised how much involved we get in the strategic advisor side on talking about tax issues and other planning issues on real estate. Of course, we don't manage real estate, so we don't charge for any of that. The only fees are the fees on the assets actively managed.
Do you all serve as trustee?
We do serve as trustee.
So
we
you have a separate trust company?
We have a separate trust company. We are a Maryland trust, a non-depository trust institution. And that's an important part of what, for some clients it's very important, for many clients it's not.
Do you only serve as trustee for Maryland trusts?
No, we serve through, we serve all over the country.
Beautiful.
Different, we have to pay attention to different state laws, but it's...
And when you serve as a trustee, is there are there additional fees that are associated with it on top of the investment management fees?
No, we don't charge an additional fee as trustee, and even though we do provide a lot of services, and I point out to them sometimes, you know, there's certain risk involved. We like, ideally, we like a family member to be a co-trustee. It doesn't always happen. And we like the family to have the power to remove us if they so wish. Those things are very important to us. But it's an important role because when you're really going to do some planning, at the end of the day, when the family members have run out, you're naming trustees and stuff, you need to have a corporate trustee you can trust to fill in at the end.
As we as we shift the discussion a little bit towards the investment side of things, and I know that that, you know, that may not be your specialty, or it may be your specialty since you've been doing it for so long, but what do you see going on in the U.S. economy, and what would you advise an investor today in terms of, should they be pulling their money out of the market because it's now hitting that 17,000 range? And it's the same question that I'm sure you always
get. We get that daily, of course. And I will say, I always say, if you look at what's happening in Washington, a dysfunctional government, it's sort of amazing that the private sector can pump along and do so well. But while we think it's a good time to, you know, make charitable gifts, to if you need to raise money, a good time to, that you're going to need the cash sometime soon, it's a good time to think about doing it. But it's also a good time to be invested. You cannot time this thing. A lot of companies are going to go up for a long time, so it is. We're not talking about withdrawing from the markets at all.
If interest rates start to change, or if the Fed starts to change its policy, that might affect everybody's behavior.
We talk about that every morning. We talked about it this morning in our morning meeting. We did a long, our bond people, fixed income people did a good analysis of what happened if interest rates go up. And we frankly have thought interest rates would have gone up before now.
By now, yeah.
And so we're, you know, in our fixed income portfolios, we're short, so the damage wouldn't be too great. But I will say, to see the Fed talking more about the other side of the equation, that we're worried about deflation, and which is a horrible dilemma.
That could lead to a terrible economic situation.
Terrible, what
we
witnessed in Japan.
Right.
And so I think, well, it's time to be, you know, have some defensive side to your portfolio. It's not a time to
back out. Is there anything else you can tell us about Brown Advisory as we conclude this segment of the podcast?
You know, I would just say, I guess I said it earlier, but to me, it has been wonderful. I love practicing law, and I love being here. It is it's a happy place, and we have a happy client, so it's just an ideal situation for me, and I think I speak for most, if not all, of our people when I say that.
Well, thank you for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth. It's been a wonderful experience for me, at least.
Thank you so much, Wayne, for having me and for your very good questions, and I've enjoyed it very much.
Thank you, and I hope the listeners have enjoyed it as much as I have. Stay tuned for future podcasts on tax, estate planning, business planning, and, of course, special guests of interest that will hopefully help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. Have a great day.